Coming up on This Week in Radio Tech, you know I really do love cloud-based infrastructure, or the idea of getting there. Well, now there's an automation company that really has this figured out. Oh my goodness, you can use an automation system in the cloud and feed it to lots of radio stations, even with slightly different audio formats and different markets, and do local insertion. It's really cool. I'm talking to Christian Brenner, also Tony Lorino, and Jim Hammond with Radio.Cloud. That's coming up next on TWRT. This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by Broadcasters General Store, with outstanding service, savings, and support, online at bgs.cc. By Broadcast Bionics, with the Bionic Studio, including talk show control, social media, and visual radio, Broadcast Bionics brings exceptional audience engagement to radio and TV. By Angry Audio, audio problems disappear when you get angry, at angryaudio.com. And by MaxConnect Wireless, prioritized high-speed internet service designed for transmitter sites and remote broadcasts. Hey, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech, the show where we talk about everything from the microphone to that light bulb there at the top of the tower. I'm Kirk Harnack. So delighted to have you in, your weekly host here. I'm in the Telos Alliance studio in Nashville, Tennessee. And it was a beautiful day today. I hope it was beautiful where you are. We got some rain coming in later this week, but it's a beautiful day today, and it is across a lot of the U.S. So on This Week in Radio Tech this week, we've got a really cool show for you. And tell you what, I'm gonna put my guests, because I got three guests, I'm going to put them on hold for just a second while I mention to you Radio Guide Magazine, because Ray Top has got another winter magazine every 2 months. This is the one from September, October 2021, Radio Guide. You can see it at radio-guide.com on the internet, radio-guide.com. Now, what I like about it, of course, is the big half-page ad that we have for This Week in Radio Tech. In every episode, every issue. Thank you, Ray, for that. But seriously, one of the things I like about Radio Guide is the in-depth engineering articles. These aren't limited to just a few hundred words. These articles are as long as it takes to cover the topic. So here we have Scott Schmeling talking about stuff you can do for free or almost free. Your station website with Greg P. Skull and Ashley Bryden Jack. So you may need to know about what needs to be on your website if you have one. Migrating to tower lighting LEDs. A lot of stations are doing that. You may need to know about it. Radio-guide.com. And there you can sign up for the print version. Also, I get the print version. I'm also, go to the website every now and then. Check it out, if you would. From Ray Top, radio-guide.com. All right, that's it for the commercial. You're not going to believe it. I'm going to bring in a bunch of guests. Here we go. Let's bring them in. There we go. Bring him as well. Hey, somebody's got some feedback here. Who's feeding back? Who's got open mic, open speaker? Any of you? I don't know.
Nope.
All right. Let's bring our guests in one at a time then. We have with us three guests from Cloud. I'll let him talk about it. Christian Brenner is here. He's the managing director and founder of this company. Christian, tell me about this company that we're talking about and the technology. What's the name of the company?
So we are Radio Cloud. It is a fully cloud-based system where you can do your radio network or a standalone station. And we are actually, since 20 years on the market in Europe, we come from the traditional broadcasting business. So we are running transmitters, we are building studios. And since about 3 years, we developed this product, Radio Cloud. And since 3 months, we have an office in New York, and we have our first clients here and try to bring the new product to the States.
And in fact, by the way, the website, I'm sorry, I messed that up. The website here is radio.cloud. So if you're at home and want to follow along, you're welcome to go to radio.cloud. And Christian, you guys are really broadcasters. You're not just developing some stuff up in the cloud that you hope broadcasters will use. You guys are using this in Germany, and now you've got one on in the U.S., right?
We have about 150 signals in Germany. We started with the local radios. Now we have 11 national radios. So in Germany, national radio is called DAB. So it's maybe a bit similar to XM satellite radio, but it's terrestrial and it's free. It's not a subscription model. And so we are on air. We are real. And our product is used as a 24/7 operation, or some using it as a hybrid operation. They do the morning show with a traditional system, and they do the rest with our cloud-based system.
Now, one reason I wanted to have you guys on, and Jim Hammond, I'll introduce Jim in just a minute. Also, Tony Lorino is with us as well. Introduce him in a minute, too. You know, I'm personally very interested in cloud-based infrastructure. I don't know that it's for everybody right away in our business in broadcasting, whether you're radio or television or some hybrid model, I don't know. But so many things we do are based in the cloud, and it's become very convenient and very controllable, and it's becoming affordable. The technologies are getting to be in place. And I think all of you know, and many of you in the audience know, that I work for a company, Telos Alliance, and my employer has a number of products that work not only in local computers, data centers, but also in cloud situations. So I'm very interested in this technology. I believe that there is a future for it. And I do believe that, done right, cloud operations can be and should be even more reliable than doing things ourselves in our own data centers. I know I've certainly had plenty of hard drive failures and plenty of fan failures, plenty of power outages, where I know that I don't have those kind of problems with cloud-based services that I use. So let's real quick bring in a couple of other folks who are with us. Tony Lorino, you're here. Welcome in. You're with Throwback Brands. Tell me what that is.
Well, Kirk, thanks for having me. And Christian and Jim, it's an honor to be alongside you guys. Yeah, so Throwback Brands is a national content provider. We have two shows, Throwback Nation Radio, Monday through Sunday, which I host Monday through Saturday along with Danny Hustle on Sunday nights. And then that's our classic hits 80s and 90s show, which is now on over 50 brands across the country, mm-hmm. which has just been a blast to launch over the last 3 years. At the beginning of this year, we launched our second show, Throwback 2K, which is America's first weekly tribute to the early 2000s. Think early Beyonce, early Britney, plenty of free Britney movement stuff, NSYNC, Fall Out Boy from their early years, that sort of thing. And it's hosted by Chris Cruz. That is now on around 40 stations as well. As we've been trying to expand our business, one of the things that we wanted to look at was moving into a 24/7 format or formats mm-hmm. for our affiliates, because there has been definitely a need and a void of someone who is able to provide really quality content. There are certainly people that are out there that are providing on-air content, but content beyond just the radio signal. So we have our first 24-hour affiliate of our Throwback brand, which is a WYET, Throwback 102.3 in South Bend, Indiana. Artistic Media Sound Management, LLC, Arthur and Gotti and the family there. And we're really excited to be on board and working with Radio Cloud to make this format, make this radio station really, really special.
So, Tony, I want to come right back to you in just a minute and ask you more about the execution of this and how it works. And hey, full disclosure, one of my radio stations, KHKU-FM, Star 94.3 in Lihue, Hawaii. It's actually licensed to Hanapepe, Hawaii. It's on
KHKU, Hanapepe, yes.
KHKU,
it's,
yeah.
It's like I've read the legal ID a couple times.
You probably have. But we're an affiliate of your service, your Throwback Nation, and I love listening to that. It plays overnight in Hawaii, but it's morning drive for me, so I like it.
It's perfect.
Hey, real quick, I also want to introduce Jim Hammond is here. I've known Jim for years. Jim, oh my goodness.
Let's not say too many years. And let's not actually count them. But yeah, we started off together about a quarter of a century ago to really frame it. Well.
I met you at Scott Studios, didn't I?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Wow. You and I were co-vice presidents of engineering at Scott Studios.
That's
which
right.
Really translated into building demos, interfacing with customers, trying to make sense of their needs, and then constructing systems, designing systems, and explaining to the salespeople what those systems were. And we had some fun times.
Well, suffice to say, you're a real expert in radio, and you're the chief strategy officer for cloud radio. And so we're going to be talking to you also about, you know, how this technology fits in or is beginning to fit in with broadcasters. Jim, all I remember about you and me being co-vice presidents of engineering at Scott Studios was that I did all the work and you told all the jokes. Do you remember that?
I sort of do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But The problem was you told the punchline before I got the joke finished.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm delighted to have Christian, Tony, and Jim all with us. We're going to talk first with Tony because he's going to give us kind of a look at what you end up getting. How does this work on the air? And then Christian, the founder of the company, is going to talk to us a bit more about the technology and the reason behind it. And Jim's going to follow up with a joke. I don't know, Jim, but.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk with Tony. Let me see if I can click the right button here. Tony, you're in Atlanta. You're an experienced programmer. What is different about running radio, or as you might say, running channels, but what's different about running radio with radio.cloud, compared to other automation systems?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, being in Atlanta and not in where our first 24-hour affiliate is, I don't have the ability to go in and punch a button if we're off the air. I don't have the ability to walk into the studio and tune things up on the fly, but Radio Cloud allows me that opportunity, not only through the back end of the software, but basically interfacing in real time with my music master. I'm a big believer in Music Master. I've used it most of my career, when we started talking at the beginning, I said to Christian and the team, I said, okay, well, we use Music Master. Here's how we do it. And they said, oh yeah, we know exactly how to do this, and send us the log and there you go. And we've been able to take our Music Master output very easily, send it to their FTP, have all of the files automatically align as we want them to, and be able to maneuver things on the fly in pretty close to real time, you know, from states away with voice trackers and air talent all over the country. Now, we're going to be able to do that as well, of course, as we build this out. We're not doing this over VPNs. We're not doing this over slow connections that could break at any time, like I've experienced when you're trying to log into your station from home. I can't tell you how many times we would have slow connections and have to try and make something work and end up running into the radio station. Radio Cloud is incredibly reliable. I think the other thing that really makes Radio Cloud different is a commitment to service. And in the two or so, almost 3 months that Christian and I have been talking and working through, hey, how are we going to make this work? Here's what we'd like to do. Can it do this? Not, first of all, 9 times out of 10, the answer is yes, it can. And here's how we do it. And for that 10th time, there's a, okay, we don't have that set yet, but what if we did this, and can we do this? And there's a sense of teamwork that I don't think you get with a lot of other providers right now. We're using Radio Cloud as not only an on-air playout system, but a distribution system. So we need those two to work simultaneously. So there's just a strategy and a method of finding solutions. And the third thing that is different with Radio Cloud is they find the 11th thing. I just said, okay, 9 out of 10 times, they have the solution. The 10th time, they find the solution. And the 11th time, they're ahead of what I've even thought of as a 24-hour network product. Because they've had this experience in Europe where network radio is a little bit more robust and a little bit more integrated than we have had in the States, they already know some things that could be incredibly helpful to us without us even going into it. And that is one of the pieces that we're building out as we speak. I just couldn't say enough because it's been fantastic to work with this system thus far and build out not only a great playout, but a great delivery model.
So Tony, as an engineer, and I'm much more an engineer than I'm a programmer, I try to understand the needs of you guys in programming and give you what you want button wise, operation wise, reliable wise, whatever. And so I got to tell you, I kind of planned this, or it's going to work out this way, and it's okay. And if my fellow engineers who are watching this are having the same little disconnect as I am, hang with us. We're going to explain everything. But I hear the things that you're talking about, but I'm not yet seeing how this works. And I know it's a little bit revolutionary. So I want to assure our audience, we're going to get to that. Between Tony and Jim and Christian, especially Christian's going to be explaining some of the technology of how this ends up working. So that's why we're having Tony on first to kind of build the dream of what this can do for broadcasters, the reliability that it can bring. Tony, you said something a few minutes ago that intrigued me. You know, a lot of times when you're working on something remotely, you've got a slow connection because it's going to be no faster than your connection at home or the connection at the radio station. And I've got my own radio stations, some of which have DSL coming in over a barbed wire fence. I mean, it's bad. And that's the best available right there, right then. But I know that whenever I deal with things in the cloud, my own website, for example, or of course Amazon or Twitter or Facebook. But when I'm dealing with my own bank, for example, or some investing things, or my employer, the Telus Alliance website, those things are always pretty snappy. They work pretty well. Even a little guy like my own website for this week in Radio Tech, and I'd like you to comment a bit more on when what you're working on is in the cloud. It doesn't matter if it's you or some other contributor or another programmer or somebody doing the music log or the traffic log. You all have equal access to the excellent infrastructure where your radio cloud lives. Can you address that a bit more for me?
Sure. You know what? And what I would say is we all have access that we need to have, Kirk, because you and I both know not everybody needs the exact same access to everything at all times.
Yes. Yes.
And I love my air talent. I love you all. And there are certain things that they may not need to do. As we were building the setup for Throwback 102.3 in South Bend, we actually ran a test channel. We ran two simultaneous channels to get this up and running the way that we wanted, to make sure that our imaging, our music, our voice tracks were all coming together, and also allow the air talent an opportunity to practice on the system. Because just like any air talent, they needed to get used to using, whether you were starting on wide orbit for the first time, or Zeta, next gen, whatever, there's always a learning curve. So I wanted them to get that muscle memory going of, hey, press this button, you know, press the space bar here, bup, 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 you know, et cetera, et cetera. So they have the ability to, they really, you know, the air talent that need access to things beyond the log where they are on the air, they can have access to it. But we can also make sure that they don't get into, let's say, a second channel. As we add more affiliates to the network, we don't want someone that is, for example, on this station getting into this station over here. You know, so Christian and the team do a great job of making sure that the security is top notch. And their whole team has just been fantastic to work with. On top of that, the speed of everything, I mean, it's like, what do you want to do? You want me to go in and change a song right now? I mean, we can do it. We can do it on the station in South Bend. And as we grow out, we can do it across the network. We can also do things where one place in this particular market may play song A, and in this other market, we're going to play song B. We have that ability. And I don't think you're going to find many national formats and national distribution options that have the maneuverability within a structure quite like Radio Cloud does. I've just been blown away.
All right. This is sounding intriguing. So here's a question, and maybe the answer is not yet, but so the feed that we take at my station, KHKU Star 94.3, is this yet been moved over to Radio Cloud?
It has not. We're still using another distribution platform, and we are working on our long-term plan to move some of our other affiliates over. Some of them, depending on, there's going to be a method to the madness on how we move people over, because anytime you switch distribution of a national product, there can certainly be challenges. You got to make sure everything's working right on the ground, but we're going to do that very methodically, especially once we get through the holidays into the new year. And we're going to offer some different options for our different affiliates, depending on if they're taking us like KHKU, which is a 7-night a week or seven, right, you know, late nights, versus someone who just takes the show for our Throwback 2K show, which may just be on a Saturday night. You know, so we're going to look at a lot of different options, and Radio Cloud is a part of our future plans.
Now, Tony, I'm not talking with you about the deep technicalities, but give me a little preview of something. I know the Radio Cloud solution also involves a computer, and it can be backed up at the radio station. I'm looking forward in a little while to get an explanation from Christian about this. But from an operational point of view, what does this extra little computer at the station do for you as a programmer and for the local affiliate?
Well, it's making sure that the feed is getting there. It's getting the signal on the air, and it's getting the signal on in the air, not through a satellite. It is truly cloud based in how it's operating and moving files through. And we're not having to rely on old school satellites. I can't tell you, you know, we've all heard and experienced blackouts and sunspots and that sort of thing, or had too much snow in the dish. Had to clear snow out of a dish one time for Delilah. Delilah, hey, you owe me a new set of gloves for that one. I almost froze my fingers off. So we've all been there for those sort of things. We're not dealing with old school anymore. We're dealing with, I think the thing for me that I've learned through this whole process of working with Christian and Jim thus far is a lot of us that have worked in terrestrial radio and not necessarily had all of the resources that we've wanted at any given time to be able to do some of these things in nationalization, we thought to ourselves, oh, well, we're going to have to use this old school technology or this or that. No, 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 no. It's 2021. We're here. Like, check your old thoughts of, well, this is the way we've always done it at the door.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm eager to understand more about this. There's still some missing puzzle pieces here. So Christian is going to be along in a few minutes to explain that. Tony, thanks. Please hang with us, because I'm sure we'll circle back with some more questions. Jim Hammond, Jim's on deck, because I got to take a quick commercial break. Jim Hammond is looking at this from a strategic point of view. Jim, one of the first questions I'm going to have for you, Jim, not only is, you know, what you've been in automation all, you know, for years now, mm-hmm. I mean, decades, I mean, a long time, you're very old.
And quarter of a century.
Quarter of a century. And I'm curious to know, you know, what appeals about this system to you, but also I want to understand what kind of broadcaster is this appropriate for, this technology? Is this good for a standalone mom and pop, or is this better for a cluster, or is this better for somebody like my business partner, Larry Fuss, that owns a few stations in Mississippi, in Arkansas, in Hawaii, and American Samoa? So I want to understand a little bit about, you know, where does this really make a lot of sense? That's coming up in just a minute. Our show This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you in part by our friends at Broadcast Bionics, and they have a system called Camera One. It's really intriguing, and it helps you put your video on the web and also get the best clips of your show onto social media.
Camera One from Broadcast Bionics, designed to bring video to your audio content. Visualizing radio and podcasts for social media. Camera One can automatically create, capture, and brand professionally switched video for live streaming or upload, making your production shareable. Control and configure using a web browser on any device. Camera One is available as a 4-camera or 8-camera system using the Blackmagic A10 Mini range, including the A10 Mini Extreme. You can use cameras to suit your studio and your budget. You'll need one camera for a studio wide shot, and usually one camera per microphone. A standard multi-channel sound card or IP driver monitors audio from each studio microphone, and we work natively with Axia systems. Ideally, this will be a post-fader feed from each mic, although you can use pre-fade audio or a mic split if that's all you have available. These audio levels are used to intelligently switch the video feed when each contributor is talking. You can also group microphones together into one shot and use the audio from a mixer's aux bus. You can use Camera One's auto switch feature, or disable it and switch using the on-screen buttons or the buttons on the ATEM. Recordings can automatically start when you tell the system you're on the air. This on-air indication can be linked to your studio's Red Lights Fire IP or an Avantech Atom GPIO interface. You can quickly browse all the videos that have been automatically created during your broadcast, download them, and post. Camera One is a user-installable system. You'll need a good-spec Windows 10 PC, i7 with plenty of storage, and 16GB of RAM. It's better if this machine isn't used for anything else. Remember, you can control the software in a web browser on another device on your network. Camera One, a thrifty way of creating scroll-stopping video from your show or podcast from Broadcast Bionics.
And you can check them out at bionic.radio. It's their website, bionic.radio. Camera One from Broadcast Bionics. You check out the range of other really helpful software and tools that they have at Broadcast Bionics to make to help you create much better content that's more intriguing and will keep your audience around longer and coming back from Broadcast Bionics. All right, it's Kirk Harnack, This Week in Radio Tech, episode 567. Our guests are the people who are making cloud radio or radio cloud work. Christian Brenner is here. He is the founder and also the managing director. Jim Hammond is up next, and Tony Lorino is with us as well. Let me put their pictures here up on the screen. Tony's been telling us about some of the programming things that they can do with it. But Jim Hammond, I want to chat with you. Jim, you've been in the automation business for a while. You've seen a lot of automation systems.
A lot of things.
Out there. The obvious question. When you first heard of this, what intrigued you about the operational intelligence of a system like Radio Cloud?
That's a great question, and I'm not really sure where to start because I was on the beach. As a matter of fact, I had kind of checked out, had not followed blogs and news or anything about the radio industry. And I got a call from Reiner Eichhorn, which I think many people know, especially around the world, as he is the international distributor for Music Master. Mm-hmm. And he had contacted Christian Brenner, or I think they got together in some way, shape, or form. And he sent me a note and said, somebody's going to call you with something fairly interesting. And I thought, well, okay, I'll listen and see. So anyway, Christian did contact me. And he said he has something in the cloud. And I said, well, yeah, okay, I'd like to listen because I've heard everybody's trying to get to the cloud. And I just wanted to see what it was. He gave me a very brief demo. And I was fixated on what he was doing. And I said, let's keep going. Let's keep going. What about this? What about that? What do you do for backup? And lots of questions that I think every engineer, every program director, every station owner would really, exercising their due diligence, would want to find out. And he answered all of those questions in a way that just blew my socks off. And I have had the pleasure and privilege of working with some of the best automation people, around, with especially with Wide Orbit, just such a great team and such a great organization, and I retired and thought I'll take it easy. So so I thought, well, you know what, I'm just kind of take the temperature of what's going on here. And I took the time to go to the TAB and visit my daughter in Austin. Mm-hmm. And the TAB, as you know, Kirk, is one of the largest, it is the largest state show, and it rivals the radio show as far as vendors and things. And I got to meet a lot of people, even at this period in COVID, just didn't really tell them what I was doing, but just asking questions. And went around the corner after having talked to five or six people and ran into Gary Klein and said, Gary, let me take your temperature on something. And told him that I was talking with somebody who had a true, real, working radio in the cloud system. And he went, oh, tell me more about this. I think we've got somebody that would be interested. And so we talked a bit more. We exchanged email. Well, I've had his email and phone number for as long as I've had yours. I contacted Christian, and Gary contacted Tony Lorino. And that's how the first marriage was made. Just stumbling upon each other at the TAB. It was just, if we'd have missed each other by a second, this wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't be sitting here.
So, Jim, and we may get the technical answer from Christian, but let me ask you, there's been a number of different automation companies saying, okay, we're cloud ready now. We can do this in the cloud. I happen to use an automation system now at my radio stations that says, yeah, we'll be glad to set this up for you in the cloud. Mm-hmm. Although getting the audio to your radio station is a little more tricky, and it's got to be streamed all the time. There's no other way to do that. And I think that's true with some other automation systems as well. I know there's another large company doing this that has like synchronous players that can operate on site. But I guess what I want to ask is either how is this different? What is it that says this is really different? This is what makes it reliable. This is what makes it customizable at the transmitter end of things. Can you help me understand that just a bit?
I'll do my best. Okay. I guess the key here is the power actually is in the cloud. A lot of the heavy lifting is done in the cloud. Mm-hmm. And by virtue of that, we have a very, very light footprint on both the origination side and the destination side.
Okay.
We can use on the origination side pretty much any product or any platform that you have. And I want to say that we're not out to replace everybody's automation system. We want to have this to be, while I like to call it a revolution, we're going to be doing this evolutionary and augmenting some of the inabilities or deficiencies that some playout systems may have in being able to reach the cloud and to be able to get to the end user. But I think for the time being, it would be easy to say that we can run off any platform in production. We run a very, very light footprint at the station. And mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, Christian's going to show you a picture of one of our standard one rack unit servers, which mm-hmm. we run in primary and backup scenarios. But we also have this, which is essentially an Internet of Things device. This is a Lenovo, uh-huh. And it's 7 inches long, 3.5 inches wide, and 1.5 inches deep. And it is more than sufficient to supply the audio for your average radio station.
Oh, okay.
It can also store. That's one of the other great advantages of what we do. If production is done and you've finished your show, it gets sent directly to this device or one of the large servers, one rack unit servers, large.
Yeah.
It's stored there. So if there would happen to be, not that the internet would ever go away, if there happens to be an interruption, we keep going. So it's automatically there, ready to go. So as far in advance, like, on Friday, when you commit your log for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and you've got your voice tracks and things, and nobody happens to be at the facility Saturday, Sunday until Monday, we keep running even if the internet disappeared. So it's that's a great advantage.
Okay, so Christian's going to, I'm sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like the heavy lifting is done in the cloud as far as assembling your radio shows. You're taking all your voice tracks, your music log, your traffic log, all of your content is assembled and essentially played out from the cloud, but it's not played out. That's not real time headed to the transmitter. This assembled package goes to the station's transmitter site or studio, wherever your hop off point is to go to the transmitter. And so now you've got a complete radio day sitting locally that if the internet should die for a while, you've got a lot of content there that's going to continue to play out. And if the internet goes away and comes back, then it continues to download more content. I hope I got that right. I'm going to let Christian correct me later on if I'm wrong. What about inserting more timely things like weather forecasts and things like that?
I'll let Christian tell you more about that because the system also has we have speech recognition. We're working on another fairly exotic product where we can actually take text to speech and pull it down, and it will not be Alexa type speech or Google assistant type speech. This will be very fluent, and it's literally is bleeding cutting edge sort of technology, and it gives me chills to think about it. But it's very, very cool. But we can make changes on the fly. I think Tony is fully aware of the fact that if he needs to make a change in one of his you know pieces, he can do that, and it goes.
Well, so Tony, what Jim's saying, does that mean that if you realized, oh man, we're still scheduling the album version of that cut, and I really want the single version, can you go ahead and push an update to a station or a bunch of stations that would update an element that's already been done?
Like that.
What?
Like that.
Okay. Okay.
We are, I, you know, and I don't want to be the one that causes a jinx here. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, that's certainly not my MO, but I will never forget the day that I was that Michael Jackson died. We were airing on air with Ryan Seacrest on the station that I was working at the time, and I was the assistant PD, and that was awkward because we didn't have any updates from Ryan Seacrest saying, "Hey, Michael Jackson is dead."
Right.
TMZ was reporting that he was dead. So I had to go on with our production director and we pieced some stuff together and we did it as quickly as we could and made it sound as good as we could, but it wasn't right. With Radio Cloud, God forbid we've got to do something on the fly with an artist that has a lot of meaning to our core and in classic hits. This happens. We'll be ready.
Yeah. So you can push that. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I think one thing that I think would be interesting is to know that this is near live time because we have so many radio stations these days that prep their next voice track 5-10 minutes in advance just to make sure that it gets right and they work the segue and things. We use artificial intelligence plus machine learning to be able to see how you have done those sorts of things, what you prefer, how you'd like to have it done, and we can apply those automatically. And we'd have to, you know, have to talk to Tony and get his judgment on that. But I think we do it really quite well. Really quite well.
Jim, when you and I first talked about this, you mentioned machine learning and artificial intelligence. I'm curious to hear more about that. Christian Brenner, we're going to bring him on. In fact, Christian, why don't we just bring you on right now for a minute? We're going to have to take a sponsor break, just like in radio. But Christian, you're the founder and the managing director of Cloud Radio, or Radio Cloud. Give us a little preview of when we come back to you, what are you going to be helping us understand about how this works?
I'll talk a bit more about the infrastructure. So what is in the cloud and what are we doing with this edge gateway? And just to get a feeling about timing, we have a network in Germany with 50 channels. And in Germany, there's a law that if someone drives in the wrong direction to the expressway, to the Autobahn, the radio station have to report this in 1 minute. And it takes about 10 seconds for us because we get the information from the police. In this case, we make a text-to-speech and we send it to this subset of these 50 stations what are affected of this crazy driver on the wrong direction of the expressway. And so it's absolutely not a timing problem. The cloud can be faster than satellite because the satellite is actually far away. So the cloud with our infrastructure in Virginia, US, we have about 10 milliseconds ping time. So it is absolutely fast, but flexible. The satellite makes the same thing for the whole country, and the cloud can do this totally localized. And our system detects where this problem, it can be an urgent weather warning, where this have to be broadcasted.
This certainly sounds intriguing, and I'm excited to hear more of the story. You're going to show us pictures of infrastructure and explain more about how this works. This is the engineering side of me. Said, yeah, I got to know how this works. So, all right, I've heard the programming, and yeah, la la la, that sounds really good. Yeah. I'm glad you're happy, but I'm an engineer. I got to know how this thing works. Otherwise, you know, I don't know. This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you in part by Broadcasters General Store. Man, what great people they are there. They're in Ocala, Florida, but it doesn't really matter where they are because we have FedEx, we have UPS, we have any, you know, the Postal Service if you want. They can get you the broadcast products you want quickly, and they can tell you where it's at, how long it's going to take to get there, and they have the best prices around. Just tell them, hey, put a sharp pencil on this. I got to have a good price, and they will do it. I've been buying from Broadcaster General Store for years and years, and one of the cool things that they carry is a whole line of products from Broadcast Tools. Now, you know, Don Wingate, his company, Broadcast Tools, man, we've used this stuff for years to control satellite receivers and switchers and just all kinds of things. Well, one of the cool products that they have at Broadcast Tools is this ProMix 4. Why is it cool? Because it's small. It's diminutive. It's a mixer. It's a four-input mixer, and one of those inputs can be the USB input. So that's kind of cool. It does have a talkback capability. And here's the weird thing. It's weird and it's good. It's mono. It's not stereo. It's monaural. That means you can send this mixer out with your morning disc jockey, with your evening team, whatever. You can send this out with the sports guys, and they can set it up. It's easy to plug things into. In fact, the first three inputs are mic in or line level in, and they can take either the XLR connector, a male XLR connector going into it, or a quarter inch tip ring sleeve. It's got those Neutrik connectors on there that do either way. So that's really cool. Also, it has, of course, a VU meter right there on the front of it, LED VU meter with the red lights if they're getting too hot. It does have a USB input, so you just plug this into your Mac or your PC, your laptop, and it becomes a sound card to the PC. That means whatever you play on the PC becomes an input on the ProMix 4. And the ProMix 4's output goes to the PC. That means if you're running a program on your PC, like Skype, for example, or any one of a number of different codecs, like CleanFeed, well, your audio can go cleanly from the ProMix 4 through the PC and right back to the radio station. It does have a balanced program output also, if you want that. It has a defeatable soft clipper. So, you know, your sports guys can yell, he shoots, he scores. And they're not going to blow out the output. It has a mix minus output as well. So if you want to go to use a codec or you even bring phone calls into it, you've got that mix minus output. Full duplex talkback capability if you use the ProMix Hub 6 controller. That's sold separately, but you do get that really cool talkback capability. Go to the Broadcast Tools website and read all about it. The manual's online there. You can look at a diagram, PDF download, or just look at the product page and find out more about it at broadcasttools.com. And, of course, our friends at Broadcasters General Store can answer questions that you might have about the ProMix 4. Call them at Broadcaster General Store at 352-622-7700. They are set up to take your phone calls, to actually talk to a live, real person when you call Broadcaster General Store or go to the website at bgs.cc. Thanks a lot, Broadcaster General Store and Don Wingate at Broadcast Tools for sponsoring, bringing you This Week in Radio Tech. All right. I am talking with some guys here from Radio Cloud. Radio.cloud is the website. We've talked a bit with Tony Lorino and Jim Hammond, and only for a minute here with Christian Brenner. Christian, you're the founder. This was your brainchild. You're managing director of this place now. Let's talk a bit about the infrastructure and how this works. What would you like us to understand first from an engineering perspective about how Radio Cloud works?
Yeah. So the infrastructure here in the United States is AWS and Microsoft Azure, and our main location is in Virginia. So everything runs there on these two operators. We have a multi-cloud approach. If for every reason there's an issue on the Microsoft side, we can continue with AWS and vice versa. So we have two locations, east and west in the States. We have two in Europe. You have no VPN, no whitelisting, no port opening. You just open the web browser and you speak with the cloud infrastructure. And as we said before, the cloud infrastructure is, of course, much more powerful than if you, as a user, as a host, try to log in your radio station. Besides that, this is a security issue. We spoke about the radio station in Hawaii. I was there 4 weeks ago. Every user is logging in an open web port in that machine. That's tricky on my point of view. We would not do that. We let the hundreds of engineers at Microsoft care about our security. So that is the power of the cloud. So all what is done from the content production is done with a web browser. And then the compiling, the heavy lifting of everything, including AI function, is done again in the cloud. But then the engineer might ask, how do I get my signal? So we have a complete playout in the cloud as a disaster recovery. So if your station goes down and you want to have a laptop on the transmitter, you can receive a stream and can directly go to the transmitter. But the main version, how it works, is we have that edge gateway, what Jim showed you before. And that edge gateway have all the content stores in advance, as much as possible. So if you do a voice checking 2 weeks ahead, we have that stored 2 weeks ahead. Mm-hmm. When the internet goes down, the server continues. You just can't update that moment. So we normally recommend have a good internet connection and maybe a 5G backup. So we can use work with two internet connections. But if it's off, and by the way, we always recognize this. We are monitoring all our edge servers. So if there's anything broken, if the fan is broken, we get an alert and can switch to backup and shut down the server because we know the temperature is too high. So we are not only selling a software, we are running a platform and all the edge servers, what is for free, what we provide for free for the channels, is monitored by us. So the edge server working on an audio over IP basis, so it can be LiveWire or Dante. And if someone using that, fine. If not, we provide a Dante dongle translating it to analog or to AES. So we are not using any special audio card for this. We are working on an audio over IP basis. Mm-hmm. So that means the engineer on site have a cable, and we need that cable to him, and we have a GPIO signal if he needs it for any external live feed for whatever news from satellite. In most cases, we do everything 24/7. We don't need a GPIO. We do everything. We import the advertising and the logs of the local station, and we create a 24/7 program. And this program is ready to hand over to an audio processor. That is the technology behind. Everything is in the cloud. And the only thing what is not the cloud is the edge server on site.
Okay. So I want to make sure my terminology is right. There is a computer at the radio station. You've called it both a server and an edge server, but it's not the server that's putting all the radio together.
No.
Right.
No. Yeah. This server is actually a stupid play out what takes 1% of the CPU power. You can run 30 channels on this edge gateway.
Oh.
So the intelligence, the power is coming from the cloud. That box is just doing the last mile. It's just translating it to a physical cable what the engineer can put in the board or in the audio processor. And it's the security to have your audio 24/7 on air, even if there's an issue with the internet.
Okay. All right. Thinking about, I should go ahead and ask about metadata. Is there metadata available out of the server?
There is metadata available. We, of course, can feed directly RDS signals or websites with metadata. We can pull metadata from existing legacy systems. So in Tony's case, we are actually a team with his current other playout from Playout 1. So any other playouts, we can pull the metadata that you can run a hybrid mode with a traditional radio automation and radio cloud. And we have more metadata. We have, for example, three different EOM. We have three different cut-ins for the back timing. So I think we have everything what a traditional system has, plus some more.
Okay. All right. Understood. Now, again, I'm an engineer. I'm very curious to see, okay, what what's the equipment that goes in? What is local? I realize I can't see the equipment that's in the cloud. I just trust that that's in, you know, some kind of software computing device that you're renting and reselling to me. Can you help us understand what is really at the radio station?
At the radio station is one box or maybe two. Normally we have main and backup. It's two boxes. Mm-hmm. This box connects to the internet. No port opened. It's just using outgoing port 443 and speaking with Microsoft and pulling all the data. And there are two network interfaces. One goes to the internet. One goes to the audio over IP network.
Ah.
So easiest case, you connect the dongle and go to AES or analog. Or as I said, if you have Livewire, use mm-hmm. it directly.
Gotcha. I think, did you have a picture you wanted to share with us?
Right, we can. So if you see what we have here.
There we go.
For the 24-hour stations, that's in South Bend, Indiana. Mm-hmm. This is a main server and a backup server. So the whole radio station is in this one rack unit. And there's another one just if the hardware would fail. They're always working in parallel main and backup. And the rest is customer equipment.
Yes, those are the two HP servers that are there, main and backup.
Yeah, okay. So we've got the, maybe you can see, everyone can see this now. We have our four pictures on the side and this picture. So this is the one in South Bend, Indiana. Two servers. Again, they're not working very hard HP. At all. Yeah.
That's two HP servers. The rest is customer equipment. So you see only these two HP servers.
And typically, if internet connection was lost for 2 or 3 hours, this has no effect on the on-air, unless there's a voice track that was being done just in time, right?
Exactly. So it has no effect. It runs a week if you want. But of course, there are no updates that minute. So, but the server always have playlists ahead what are perfectly mixed from the cloud. You can always use that. And it's just updated. So if someone do instant voice checking, then there are updates. And of course, if the internet is gone, then you might not get the newest voice checking. Guys, I have a problem. They kick us out here right
okay.
now. I have to stop now.
No.
I try to find a place outside, but that can take some minutes, but they really kick us out now.
No, Christian, thank you for joining us. We're going to finish up the show with Tony and Jim. Okay. Thank you for trying, working so hard to be with us. All right. Take care. Okay. Bye-bye. All right, that's Christian Brenner, the founder and managing director of Radio.Cloud. All right, Jim and Tony, it's just us to finish the show up.
All right.
So we got a brief look at the playout equipment. I'm a little bit curious if you can describe, you know, if I'm going to be running my radio station using Radio.Cloud in the cloud, mm-hmm. what am I looking at? What interface am I using?
Well, Christian had that interface on his machine, and he had to get...
They kicked him out of JFK.
Get out of 41. I think he's at JFK.
Yeah, so, probably. Yeah. He's flying over to Europe.
I've been kicked out of better bars. So, so it's a pretty straightforward interface. Mm-hmm. As we say, we don't want to directly compete at this time with any full-blown automation system, and that's not our intention. We plan right now to augment automation systems or playout systems that somebody may have. We can take the output of those. We can work with the segues. We can take the music schedule, the audio, everything, and push it to the cloud and pull it back down again. So again, the intent is not to scare automation people to death. But we do have 24/7 support, as Christian said. It is monitored support, so we can tell in advance when something's actually happening with either your program stream, and I think we may have seen one or two instances that Tony was having going on.
I can share a couple of things from the website so we can have some things to talk about
beautiful.
Right now. So we're looking at the functions page. What are we? Mean I can run my radio station from my phone? Is that what this is implying?
You could. That's not our preferred method, but in a pinch, you could certainly do that.
Wow.
I would say that we are primarily Windows, but we can do Mac here. We can do Mac on the studio side. We can do Linux on the studio side. We are working to have a Mac compliant, full Mac compliant end-to-end solution, and Linux as well. So we think that we will be able to offer a platform that would suit just about any engineering dream or engineering desire, as it were.
Now, we're looking at different screens that are, showing up here on your website, demonstrating some of the things you might be looking at. What is this thing that looks like a pie that I'm seeing every
few? Yeah,
looks like a radio station clock.
It is. It's exactly what that is. And one of the key things is you can change your clocks on the fly. You can select from multiple clocks as you're doing your programming. If somebody needs to be doing the, midday to, 4 p.m. slot or whatever, they have the ability to go in and pull theirs up and voice track that and send it to us. One really, really neat function that we have as a system that can support an entire network with different information and different spot loads. Unlike satellite, we have the ability to be flexible and map different units of audio to different radio stations from one system, and it's kind of the magic sauce, as it were. We can have custom programming for multiple radio stations on the same network.
I gotta tell
you, that includes music.
Tony and Jim, this sounds like this system can do more than I've ever thought about. I'm not sure my imagination can catch up right away. I guess I've got to see this do some things before I could imagine all the things that it could do for my radio stations or other groups of stations. Is my impression kind of about right there?
I couldn't grasp in one sitting all that this does, because every time we talk, there's another innovation. One other thing, the voice tracks translated speech to text so that it comes up in the playlist. And if you want to see what the person is going to say in the next voice track, click on it and it expands into a box and it shows
Jim
speech to text.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If I can share my screen, I'll take you guys inside of what happened at 6 o'clock tonight.
Tony, if you'll click the share button, we can certainly take that. So let me just wait for you to share it. It'll pop up in my production system here when you share it, or it should. There we go. I'm gonna add you right in. There you go. Your screen is on.
So here's a little bit of what was happening this afternoon, earlier this evening at about 6. I can see that our legal ID hit at 1804. We went into spots, all that sort of stuff. But let's say I want to see what Chase was talking about over Authority Song.
By the way, look who's back. Christian's back. Hey, Christian. Tony. I guess you found a different airline bar, right?
Yes. That's
hopefully
it
wasn't TSA.
It wasn't TSA. Christian, Tony's just carrying us. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, keep it there, Tony. Tony's
there we go.
Carrying us through the... what this can do, and especially in terms of the speech to text.
And we are not just doing speech to text. We're trying to understand what the host said and try to understand if we can reuse that. For example, if he says 1, 2, 3, the best hits of the 80s and 90s, next song is Queen, that can be maybe broadcasted 4 weeks later again. And that's the idea, to really understand what they do, what can be archived, what can be reused.
Wow. Okay.
Or if someone produces a weather and labels it as traffic, we send him back an SMS and say, thank you for your traffic. We understood that this was not a weather report. We put it to the right category.
Tony, we've just got a very few minutes left in our show. I think you had a couple of other graphics to show those. Do you want to show them now or after our next spot break? I'm sorry, I said Tony. I meant Christian. Kristen, did you want to show us the other graphics you had?
I can.
Okay. Tell you what, I'm going to take a spot break. Okay. You get those graphics ready. And when we come back with Kristen, he's got some things that are going to help us understand a little deeper how this whole system works. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around it, just like I was audio over IP literally 17 years ago, trying to wrap my brain around it. All right, gentlemen, I'm going to do a quick break here. Your mics are live unless you mute them for a couple more sponsors. Hey, I just visited Angry Audio today at angryaudio.com, but I went by the office here in Tennessee of Angry Audio, talked to Mike Dosh, and he showed me a few things. This is still in the package. Angry Audio doesn't waste your money on packaging. I'll tell you that right now. Let's see what's in this bag. This is something called the Studio Hub Analog to Digital Converter. So if you got a little need for an analog to digital converter, like unbalanced left and right going in, what do you get out? Well, you can, or balance stereo in on an RJ45, you get digital out, AESEBU digital out. In this cute little box. You don't need a big rack mount 1RU box with, you know, displays on the front that costs many, many hundreds or even thousands of dollars. This is all you need. This has the same quality chipsets as those big expensive boxes, and it's just a little diminutive box. Look, it even comes with some cables here. How about that? So you can turn analog into AES-EBU. So you can hang this on the back of a CD player. If you need AES-EBU, you got it. They also have digital to analog converters. Those are cool too. What is this one here? Oh, I've got a, let's see what this one is. This is, hey, we all need these. This is a converter from the RCA level, minus 10 dBV, to a professional balance level. So this is a, what we also often call a balancing amplifier. It's the IHF to Pro Audio interface. And again, very small. You don't have to have a big rack mount thing or buy a shelf for something to sit in or on. That's it. How cool is that? One more thing to show you from Angry Audio. We're going to be talking about this in the weeks to come. This is a world panel from Angry Audio, a world panel. So many radio stations need these nowadays. When you have TV crews coming in, for example, to do a recording, they want your audio, they want your program audio. This is an active box. There is some active electronics in here. Now, not over here. See, this here is just a pass-through for RJ45 and for USB. These are pass-throughs, as you can see. No electronics there. But the rest of the box does have some active buffering electronics to protect your equipment and to protect whatever is being plugged into it. So this will protect as a TV crew or whomever comes in and wants to feed you audio or you feed them audio. And it's got analog and AES-EBU digital, and it's got analog in several different formats as well. So this thing is really cool. The new world panel from Studio Hub. Check it out. The website is angryaudio.com. Angryaudio.com. All right, we're going to hear a brief message from my friend John Takak. We'll be right back.
With all of the recent cybersecurity attacks against large corporations, we were looking for a product that would give us the ultimate security at our transmitter sites and as well as with our broadcast equipment. MaxConnect fits the bill very well. Its greatest security feature is the fact that it gives you a single static IP address. Using this single static IP address allows us to close hundreds of open ports on our firewalls across the company and restrict access to only the MaxConnect IPs. This has greatly reduced our exposure to the World Wide Web and made us much more secure moving forward. It's also given us the ability to expand as needed in a secure fashion.
Check out, this is the MaxConnect wireless modem. Now, the modem doesn't make that much difference. This is a PepWave 4G LTE modem. The key is the SIM card that's in it from MaxConnect Wireless. You get a static IP address, and you get priority data prioritized over all those other jokers in the stadium or wherever you are. You're the only people with a higher priority than you are first responders, and that's the way it should be. So I'll bet you this will work fine as a backup for the product that we're talking about, the Radio.Cloud. By the way, check out MaxConnect. You can go to MaxConnect Wireless or even just MaxConnect. I know it's spelled funny. There's a link in the show notes. MaxConnect.com. Josh Bone is the inventor of this. He put this all together with all the phone companies, all the carriers, whether you like Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, Sprint, and it's even available in Canada now. MaxConnect Wireless. Thanks a lot, Josh Bone. You've done the industry a big, big favor. All right. Back for just a minute here. We have We have Christian Brenner and Jim Hammond and Tony Lorino, all with Radio Cloud. Christian, did you have anything you were able to, you want to show us?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So just to understand the background now, I'm sitting here on the airport. I have it a 5G connection. Oh. So everything I can, of course, do here. But I don't do my planning of the broadcast logs here now. I share my screen now.
Okay.
So can you see that?
Just a minute. It hasn't popped up just yet. We're just waiting for it to pop up. Let's see. Ah, well, no. No, hasn't, not there yet.
Oh, give me a second. Wait.
It might be 4.5G.
Here we go. There we go. All right, we got it now. Yeah. There you go.
So to understand what we mean with the rule-based broadcasting. So if you have a network, and you have, in this case, it's a network in Germany with 16 local networks. So you have your broadcast clocks, and these are 16 local, slightly modified broadcast clock. So what does that mean? I just opened one. So wait, I load now the broadcast clocks of one local station. That takes maybe some seconds longer since I'm here only on the mobile phone. I open that here now. Excuse me. That was the second thing I wanted to show you. I wanted to show you first the comparison between network and local. So on the left side, you see now network. And the right side, this is one of the local radios. Mm. So here you have your typical layout of an hour. This is a news opener, news, weather opener, weather, traffic report. And then you have the voice tracking. Oh, my God. Now we have it. I think I have to pause now.
We can actually hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you fine. It's good. Yeah, keep talking.
Okay.
It's good.
Okay, then the AirPods are good. So and here's the local radio. So you see all the imaging is localized.
Ah.
And then, for example, the news, they take the national news. But the weather, they have a local weather. That comes from their local station. If they don't have a local, it falls back to the national weather.
Oh.
This is the traffic. It falls back to the national traffic if they don't have it. And then you see that the network plays often music back to back. This local station doesn't like that. They say we want to have a sweeper every time.
Oh.
So all these slight modifications, you do one time a rule. You make this rule. You can broadcast the next weeks with that rule. You can change it. So I show you in a minute how you can change it. So you see here on the left side what the network does. And on the right side, for example,
wow.
the local radio have a complete different layout at half an hour. So the network plays music. And the local plays something else. Of course, the amount of music might be different on the local station. So the network have to know what music can be played on the local, what must be played on the local, and what can be taken out on the local.
Mm-hmm.
And how the local station, so I'm a local station, I'm a taker of this network. I'm independent from this network, so they don't own me. So I have power of my own local radio. And I say, I want from now on that my hour starts not with the news, starts with the weather. So you just drop it here, and now that the radio station starts with the weather report. And for example, you open here your jingles. It's a jingle template, and every jingle have a tag. So that jingle runs only in the afternoon. That's only in the morning. This only in summer. This only in bad weather. That only in good weather. So even be connecting in US to the weather.com weather API to be able to play different voice tracks from the archive or different jingles depending on the weather. And to understand what, for example, this network does is they have two music formats with the same host. So how we do that? This is 1 hour. That was broadcasted today morning, 5 a.m. in Germany. This is the position of the voice break. 1, 2, 3, 4. So in position one, they can't speak about the music. They speak about everything else but the music. That runs on both formats.
Mm-hmm.
But on position number three, for example, they speak about the music. So it's a mix between I speak about the music, then I need to produce. Here you see that more better. You see that's a music talk. And that's obviously Pink singing here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another break speaking about the music, and we this runs on format 2. So this, instead of having two hosts for two shows, one host run both shows simultaneously. And by the way, the program director can just hit a button here and immediately can hear, you can't hear this now, it's on my headset, but you can, the program director can very easily listen what's produced, can check what the host said, even see some statistics. If the host only saying that was A, now comes B, that's coming from the archive, by the way. So here, the host, that Radio Cloud detected that break I have already 4 weeks ago. Let's use that and focus on other things. So the host will not see all the breaks, maybe once per hour. The host focus on something else, and Radio Cloud takes it from a different situation. So that is just to understand, we are caring about the contract. We try to understand the content and try to reuse the content, because it's actually often very valuable, and you don't need to waste it. You can reuse it. And some hosts on the first glance are shocked when they hear this. They say, what? You're repeating my things? But if we use the capacity of the host to do more local breaks, what he did here, this was repeated. He could do a local break for a special local radio. And I'll show you one more thing how that works. So we are in the log today. I just say I want to reproduce that. It loads the last music, the next music, so the full voice checking environment. And the host can now tell, this runs on all station, this runs on music format 1.
Oh, my goodness.
He can send it to different cities.
Yeah.
So some of the locals pay a bit more, and they get every second hour a break produced from the network host for them. So they have a festival in the city. Okay, then the host said, this is going to Munich. I'm speaking about a festival. I'm speaking about that local station. And with this mix of network content and local content, the audience think, oh, that's my radio. He's speaking about my city. But actually, only 20% is for his city. The rest comes from the network. I could record now what I say. So if I click now recording, 1, 2, 3, that's what I just produced. I can edit it in the browser. I can click save, and it immediately can go on air. So it's really instant real time. And what you see here is just my microphone sending it to the cloud. But I think that's really interesting that we are giving the host the ability to say, I'm sending this now to just one city and not to the whole network.
Wow. Christian, I can see we could spend half a day looking at this, and unfortunately we're out of time, but that is amazing that you can, that you can produce local sounding stations with local content from a national point of view, or a local person could record for several markets, and not just simple voice tracking, but really customized voice tracking for the different markets. That's certainly one way to use this technology.
And one more thing, we have a voice checking called multi-segment voice checking. Mm-hmm. So you can let the host speak a break national. And then at the end, you say 4.102.3, 4.99.3, whatever. He have different ends, and we cut it automatically and put it together. So it's just a portion of that localized, and the rest is national.
Wow.
And it sounds good.
Right.
It actually sounds good.
And that's coming from a programmer. It actually sounds good. Awesome. Gentlemen, we are flat out of time. We've been going for about an hour and 15 minutes. I want to thank you so much.
I look forward to
the Throwback Nation moving to this platform, as well as the other one that you've done. So we'll look forward to that on my radio station, Star 94.3 in Hawaii. Jim, thank you for calling me, Jim, and alerting me to this technology. I'd love to see this.
I'm super psyched. It's mind blowing.
Tony Lorino in Atlanta, thank you for joining us as well. And Christian Brenner, I wish you a safe and happy flight back over to Europe. Thank you. Thank you for joining
us,
too.
Thank you.
All righty. It's This Week in Radio Tech. We've been talking to Christian Brenner, the managing director and founder of Radio.Cloud. Also, Tony Lorino with Throwback Nation Radio. And Jim Hammond, the chief strategy officer over at Radio.Cloud. We got to go. Thanks a lot to Suncast, our producer of the show. Appreciate your help. Thanks to Andrew Zarian, the founder of the GFQ Network. We'll see you next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Bye-bye.